Canada, we don't recognize race unless you're white, and then we'll recognize that you're white and we'll punish you more. We also recognize if you're native, and we'll just give you billions of dollars. Not you, your tribal leaders. And we also recognize if you're Indian, and we'll give you money to come here and find a job and have kids. We want millions more of you. And also, if you commit crimes, fucking no problem. Just we'll recognize that you are Indian, and any other race other than white, we'll recognize you, and we'll punish you less as well. But Canada does not recognize race. Oh, we also have bursaries and grants for everyone aside from white people. White women, too. We'll give white women, too, because they're helping us destroy the white people. So, but other than that, we do not recognize race. We also give poison food to our whites. It's a form of euthanization. Everyone else has their own grocery stores or eats like halal or kosher food. I'll recognize this too. If you're coming from another country, don't shop at the white places. Oh, we also euthanize the whites in insane numbers. And we also use our government-funded broadcaster to systemically target the whites as well. But other than that, we don't recognize race at all. We are the least racist country in the entire world. Oh, I forgot to mention Chinese people. In Canada, we consider them white. Oh, and if you move here, you'll have to stay in an ethnic ghetto. But other than staying in the ethnic ghetto and all the other stuff that's completely dependent on what race you are, we are the least racist country in the entire goddamn world.
Might makes right. Might makes right. Redbeard wrote the doctrine. Strength crowns the throne. Nature has no pity. Truth sets the tone.
Call compassion a disguise. That the world is ruled by power, and the weak empathy, force over faith, low born of dominance, nature's laws are fake.
This goes out to every nationalist who will never bend. To all those who chose courage over compliance. To those who stand their ground, even when it can cost them everything. This is for the activists, the martyrs, the ones who refuse to be sheep. This is dedicated to you! They never bow down!
Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? We are live on three platforms tonight, X, Rumble, and 88 Streams. It is May 9th, 2026, Season 6 of Global Homo. And tonight we are joined by Holly Cost. How are you doing tonight, Holly Cost?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Right on. Cool. How's it going? I heard you're on stream last night with Flood and King Saltine. That was fucking awesome stream. Great music through the whole damn stream. It was fucking awesome stream, actually. Many of us actually quite very much enjoyed that. And well, thank you for coming on. I reached out to you, I think it was, what, about a week or so ago. And then you had your fucking X account yeeted. I was like, oh shit, that didn't take too long. So like, fuck. So it's great to have you in the Hof. And one thing that I like to have in here is fellow musicians, because I'm a musician myself. I play pretty much anything with strings or skins. And when I hear music that I think is fucking awesome and it's part of our cause and I want to try and boost and get out there, then I invite people like you in here. So how you doing? Tell everybody about yourself.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. This is going to be my second interview, so I hope I'm clear and I
Oh
don't
yeah.
sound too ridiculous. I'm learning these live chats. So hello to everyone, and thanks for having me. And yeah, my ex account was not meant to last, I guess, but that
Really?
goes with pretty much any platform. I get yanked from everything, and I try
Yeah.
to behave.
It goes with the territory. Fuck. Yeah, I know. But what I was just gonna say there, when it comes to the streaming and doing live interviews, the way, like, man, I suck at it. I've been doing this for about 3 years and I fucking suck at it. Like, I'll be the first to admit, right? They like, by no means is this a professional production whatsoever. So yeah, there's just be yourself, like I was saying before, and you'll find, like, we have a great time. The chat is always kick ass. The chat is one of the biggest things of these live streams. And so yeah, I'll always be joking with the chat or bringing up one of their comments or something like that, right? So yeah, man. So great to have you on. And well, what happened? Oh, we lost her. I don't know if I'm not too sure what just happened there. I don't know if her internet crapped out or what. I have no idea. We'll wait to see if she comes back. Oh, yep, there she is right there. Okay.
My apologies. I clicked a button that I didn't know I shouldn't click.
Oh, not a problem. Like I said, this is not a professional production whatsoever. Stuff like that happens. Hey, half the time, we ended up muting ourselves. Like, we'll be in the middle of a conversation and just going off. Like, you'll see one of us just the arms going like this for like 5 minutes, and then we'll look down and we're fucking muted. And then try to remember what we just went on about. Pfft, good luck, right? So it happens. It happens. So, again, like I was saying, I'm a musician myself. Like I said, I play drums, I play guitar, pretty much anything with strings or skins. And when I heard your music, I really enjoyed it. It's got versatility to it. I heard so many different genres of music just kind of put together. I was fascinated by it because I actually really do like, I'm a metalhead myself. The more pissed off and brutal and heavy it is, the more I like it. Like, I'm a big fan of black metal, death metal, things like that, right? But I'm also a very good big fan of a lot of new age fusion that I've been hearing going on between, like, EDM, electronic, almost like dark rave into like deathcore, and how it's being brought into our scene and how well it's working. It's awesome. So when I first heard King Saltine about a year ago, I was like, oh man, this is fucking awesome. And I've been playing his music for quite a while, and then I ended up having him on and shit like that. It was a great interview. And so I'm always looking for some of the new talent coming up. Like, when I first heard Othala Syndicate, for instance, I'm like, man, this guy writes some great stuff. And Othala, man, and that's another person. Like, if you do interviews with Othala, I'd love to have you on and shoot the shit with you sometime. Speaking of that, I've been meaning to actually ask you about that. So again, when I heard your music for the first time, I was like, this is very good. I like this because it's not too often you hear our message from the female perspective. And that's one thing that really appealed to me, is that it's because a lot of the times it's a guy screaming his head off, right? And when I first heard your music, it was from the female perspective of like, dude, get the like post the fuck up, stand the hell up. You sing about history of the movement, things like that. And I found that really awesome. And so I just wanted to know, what influenced you into this kind of genre of music, and what are your influences?
Sure. Well, I have a skinhead background. I think I kind of expressed that last night in my other interview. And I grew up in kind of like the punk skinhead, you know, skateboard scene in the 90s. And hardcore has always been, oh, awesome. Hardcore music's always been my very favorite genre. But I love dark wave and new wave and a lot of the stuff that came out in the 90s that I didn't appreciate, I guess, at the time. Like in high school, it was always like the fags and stuff that liked the goth and dark wave. And, you know, so I was immediately opposed. But I think as I've gotten older, I've started to appreciate different genres for, you know, different effects and more of the emotion tied to music that comes from the heart. And like I said, hardcore has always been like my first love, but I wanted to do something a little different. I enjoy Oi, and I enjoy you know, RAC, Rock Against Communism, and our SBM. I enjoy all that, but sometimes the message isn't real clear with it. Some people don't like metal to the extreme that they can't understand it, and I think that I have something of value to say, and I wanted it to be clear, but I also didn't want to lose my roots with the screaming and the spoken word of like hardcore. And I'm very fortunate because I became friends with Tech Nine about 2.5 years ago. And for anybody that doesn't know who Tech Nine is, he's really one of the founders of Fashwave. And he's amazing. He's an amazing producer. He's an amazing master of music, mastering it to make anyone sound or any instrument sound just top notch. And he knew that I had been writing music, and I had been in a hardcore band 10, 12 years ago. And we didn't do anything too great. We played a lot of garages, a lot of warehouses. And he was reading some of my lyrics, and he's like, you know, you really should put those out. And I was like, well, let's do something. But I wasn't expecting to do the vocals. I just wanted to like maybe give my lyrics to somebody that was willing to do it. Mm-hmm. And he said, come to the studio. Let's figure this out. And I did, and he's made me sound amazing. I'm grateful for that. But yeah, that's basically where I come from is the hardcore background. But again, I mixed it with some of the other genres that I love, and then he just fine-tuned it and added his flair to it. And I didn't think anybody'd like it. I really thought people would be like, this is just, you know, weird, or it wasn't in the following of Rock Against Communism or Oi or punk. It's just the kind of its own sub, you know, genre. And I was really surprised when people said, hey, you're doing something different and good, keep it up.
Well, yeah, because again, like I said, it's a fusion, and it's like myself, like I'm a balls of the wall metalhead, but I love this fash wave stuff. As soon as I started hearing all this fash wave and like an S like rave almost type, I was like, this is fucking awesome. I actually really like this. Like, why isn't there more dance clubs with this type of stuff playing? Cause then I'd probably go, right? Like, and so again, like myself, it was just like, this is really interesting stuff. So that one fash wave song of yours that I actually played in the beginning of this show here, I really enjoyed that. And that's one thing too, I'm really liking about how these fusions are coming together is again, like I'm like the same type of product, right? From the 90s, listening to like hardcore punk. I wasn't really much into the Oi punk as much. I don't know. I was really picky with punk. Like I loved punk, but I hated 95% of it kind of deal, right?
Sure.
But again, I was a big black metal fan. Like I've been listening to NS black metal for, oh crap, 30 years now, a long fucking time. And it's funny, I'll be in like in a Facebook, because I scroll through Facebook. I like to troll people on Facebook, and I'm in a couple of black metal pages on there. And you get all these new age, like, liberal commie types in there going, oh, we need, why is there so many fascists and black metal, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you have no idea the origins of black metal, I guess, you morons. Right? Because, like, the origins of it is total NS, but they don't seem to understand that, right? All these bands they love are like, yeah, look into these guys a little deeper. You ain't going to like them anymore. But that's one thing I like about this new stuff coming out. That, like I said, these fusions coming together, I'm even trying it out. Like, I'm not really one for AI type of music myself, but like, I'd rather play it for real. But like, I live in a small apartment, I can't really have my gear set up, so I'm just taking what I like to do with music for now and putting it into an AI thing. So I'm experimenting myself. I'm taking like dark rave industrial, mixing it with black metal and like deathcore, and kind of having a little bit of fun like that, right? And it sounds pretty good. It sounds actually really interesting when you tweak it and have some fun with it, right? And I heard a couple of really interesting influences in your stuff that I actually wanted to ask if they were. Okay. Do you have any, do you know in this moment at all?
You know, I've been compared to that. And honestly, I don't think I've ever heard anything from them. It's okay. I'm not really into anything that is mainstream or even current. So yeah, you have to understand that, like, what I'm about and what I enjoy is what I put into my music. So like, a lot of it's, you know, from 10, 15, 20 years ago. And when some people like compare or they ask me what this influence is, I honestly don't mean to sound ignorant, but no, I don't know. So
don't get me wrong. I wasn't actually comparing you, because what I was actually like trying to put the comparison to was basically what I'm trying to say is it's not too often we find a female fronted like metal type of bass like this that's actually stands out. And that's what I was trying to say. Like, I wasn't trying to compare you two in this moment at all. I was just trying to put that comparison on that type of arc, on that female archetype of the band itself. That's what I was trying to get at. So I apologize if it came out the wrong way.
Oh, no. Not at all.
And but what I was trying to get at is in this movement, we don't have that. Right? And so then what you're doing is kind of starting to actually push that forward. Because, again, in most of the music in this is all male-driven. We don't really hear any female driven music in our scene at all. So that's why I was actually quite intrigued about your music.
Right. There aren't a lot of females doing, much, not in the spotlight, I would say. Sure, there's lots of women doing a lot for the movement. And I think, you know, I'm definitely not a feminist. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. But I will say, every subculture, every movement, it doesn't really matter what it's based around. There are issues with, I wouldn't say the equality of the sexes, but I would say that women have a harder time maybe being embraced also, or not taken serious. Maybe. I'm a strong believer in doing things for yourself. You shouldn't be doing things for other people to recognize it. You should be doing it because you love it. And it doesn't matter what it is, if it's music or art or community work, whatever it is, you should be doing it because it comes from your soul and it becomes a passion. And at the same time, you have to have some support. And I don't feel like women within the movement have a lot of support. And we don't, as women, a lot of times we don't support each other, you know? So we can't really expect men to support everything we're doing if we can't, as women, come together and support each other, you know, to carry forth. So you're right. There's not a lot of women doing music. But I think it's got a lot to do. It's just, you know, the support and the platforms. I think that there's probably a lot of women that would jump on this and mm-hmm. could do it, but I just don't think they have that support. So I think that, we as a community need to be pushing people, to, you know, come forward and doing their passions and the things that they love.
Yeah, I agree. Because that's one thing about our culture is it's very artistic. We built the Western world, right? And when you look at how the Western world was built, you can see the history of the art history of our people all through it, right? And it bleeds out right into the music, architecture, everything, right? So yeah, no, you're correct. And one thing too, if we have more of that show of support of it, that will hopefully actually prompt more women to actually want to do what you're doing. Maybe not in metal, maybe like a different genre of music or whatever. If they want to just do like just solo singing, whatever. Just yeah, if you got an art, bring it out. That's what we're all about, right?
Absolutely.
Another question I wanted to ask you. What, like, when it comes to, like, you said you come from a skinhead background, and so what opened your eyes to all of what I like to say the plight of fucking global homo as we see ourselves under? What was it that peeled the blinders off for you that made you the way you are?
Sure.
Because we all have a story, right? We all have a story.
Absolutely. I guess I'm fortunate. I had two grandfathers that were extremely political. I had one that was a mayor in the 1950s in Indianapolis, Indiana. And then I had another grandfather who was a political cartoonist. And so he actually, you know, documented politics. And he joked from the center. He made fun of, you know, Republicans and Democrats. And we're talking from the 1930s all the way up into the 1990s. Wow. My grandfather that was the mayor, he was anti-Semitic as far as my childhood, and according to my father, his childhood as well. So I was kind of raised in a based environment. And being a kid and having my parents were raised in the 60s, and so they rebelled against their parents. So anything that they were taught, you know, it was like they went the opposite way. And again, they were, you know, products of the 1960s, 1970s. So they became more, I would say, liberal. And so when I grew up, I kind of rebelled against their liberalism, I guess. They were conservative, but I would say, you know, left of conservative. They were more left. And I got to be around my grandfathers a lot. And from the time I was 4 and 5 years old, I spent time with the grandfather that was the mayor at one point. And he would read to me books from like David Irving and Henry Ford. And so I had a lot of really great influence from a childhood on. And then as a teenager, an act of rebellion against my parents is like, you know, what could you do to possibly piss your parents off? You know, you could become a skinhead or you could date a nigger, you know, it was like, well,
one or the other.
So, you know, I went to that extreme and that's where it started.
One or the other. There's right. No in between there. Well, I did the skinhead thing. I didn't do the date the nigger. I did the skinhead. No, that's interesting. For me, it was a little bit different. I kind of found out on my own, like, as a young teenager, I got subjected to, quote, natives. And, yeah, I learned at a young age, like, oh, why, what the fuck's going on here? But like I said, I just wanted to ask that because everybody that I have on an interview, I always like to ask, like, to a degree, like, because some people have a little bit different stories and they don't want to go too deep into the stories, and I get that. But everybody has a reason why, or like what something that happened, or something that they read, or something that directly happened to them, or whatever, that's opened their eyes and peeled the blinders off, right? So I like to ask that of everybody I have on. So one other question I wanted to ask you is, what other, do you have some more new music coming out? Like those three songs, I think it was actually four songs I played. Are they newer songs? Because I remember you played some last night on Flood Show. And I don't know if I played any of them actually tonight as well. But that one that you wrote, Silent Brotherhood, that's a great song. That's actually a really great song. I've actually listened to that one quite a few times today. I use that one for like the little intro video for the Rumble thumbnail, actually. I noticed that you do a lot of support for the active clubs. And was there I thought I heard something last night about oh, that's what I wanted to ask you. Was wondering if you could talk about Dresden 86. I was quite interested about that. I mean, what is that? Is that a website or is that a record label or?
Sure. 86 Dresden is a record label, and
Okay.
they're here in the United States. Actually, Tech Nine is the one that founded it,
Okay, good.
and he, started his own label, and he has, I think, 25 artists on the label. Othala's on there. Othala's an awesome friend of mine. I want to give him a shout out. He's a
Right on.
huge supporter
Yeah, he's
and a
over on
wonderful
88 streams
friend.
right now. Yep.
Yeah, and yeah, 86 Dresden, and like I said, this last night, if there are artists and there are people that are putting out music or interested in it, they should send an email over to Tech, and he will be happy to discuss, maybe putting them on the label, or if people have questions on just right wing music in general, he is just an amazing guy. He has so much information and loves to help people. So that's 86 Dresden. And then I have my own merch line, which is panzerstreetwear.com.
Now, I've actually heard of that before I found you. I've seen that before, and I'm always hesitant on ordering stuff from the States up into Canada because we got weird fucking laws like that. So that like again, even with 88 merch, like there's so much crap I wanted to order, but I'm just like, for fuck's sakes, like I don't even know if we even come across. But I've seen the Panzer Streetwear website and some of the gear for oh crap, I think probably for about the past year and a half I've been seeing that around. So I had no idea that was you. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I founded that in 2020, and I took a little hiatus about 2 years after I started it because I was just getting doxxed and harassed constantly. And at a certain point, you have to wonder if it, is it worth it? Is doing this for our people or standing up for your rights, is it worth it? And it's always worth it, but at a certain point when you have no recourse, see, we have no recourse when we're being harassed. We have no recourse when they're blasting our home address or contacting people's employers or, contacting the local newspapers and doing articles on our people because they spoke out. And the kind of last straw for me was when they had taken my 7-year-old's picture at the time and blasted it all over the internet and said he was going to be the next school shooter. And I just kind of had to pull back and think to myself, like, do I want something horrible to happen to my child because of my beliefs? And it wasn't that I am scared, okay? It's, but I'm scared for him. I'm scared for the community to not embrace what I'm doing, because I don't want it to affect him. Like it's different when you're a single person or your children are grown or you have the support of your community around you. But when you're one person and you have children and you have to protect those children, you don't want them being bullied or attacked at school because of your political beliefs, because we're not protected. You and I aren't protected, and you're especially not in Canada. But our children, that's what the 14 words are all about. And so I took a little hiatus, and during that time I did some self-reflection, and I thought, fuck this. Like they're not gonna keep me down, and they're not gonna scare me into stop doing what I love. And whatever I have to do to protect my kid in the process, I will, but I can't not do what I'm meant to do. And I believe putting out merch and singing and supporting all of our people in the movement is just something I'm meant to do. So.
And it also goes to show you what kind of fucking scum we're dealing with when they go to Lowe's as that to take a picture of your kid and say to say something like that. It just goes to show to people what kind of trash and filth we're actually dealing with. They paint us as all this evil and bad and this and that, but then they'll go to lows like that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's not so horrible. Like, I live in a small town, but what sucked is they, Antifa took the time to get all these photos of me, photos of my children, my address. They even had pictures of like my license plate on my vehicle, and they made flyers of this and sent this to 80 to 100 of my neighbors. I had my neighbors coming banging on my door. Like, the title on it was like, "Did you know there's a Nazi living next door?" And what was kind of funny is the neighbors didn't care. They came over to tell me, like, protect yourself, you know, get cameras. They're going to come after you. And that was kind of a relief in a way, because I thought for sure when I saw these flyers, like, man, I'm going to have to move. But it was kind of the opposite.
I have friends of mine in Hamilton, Ontario, a couple that I know. They had their whole neighborhood, like, write this fucking letter, all because they had this flag hanging at their front of their house. And it wasn't even it wasn't a bad flag. If I'm not mistaken, it was either A, a red ensign, or B, a diagonal flag, one of the two. But it freaked out the community enough that they had to write a fucking letter and wig out and shit. So the couple that I know in Hamilton, they just wrote a letter back saying who they were and this and that. Come on over if you want to meet who we are. It's like, give it the fuck up, man. Like, and the couple that I know in Hamilton, they're completely fucking harmless, but yet the whole community had to wig out pretty much around them because of a flag.
Oh, yeah.
It's retarded, right? And so, and again, too, like, when it comes to, like, the doxing and all that type of stuff, that's why, like, me personally, when I do this, like I'm forward-facing, so, like, I'll show my face. I don't care. Like, that's my name. Like, if they want to come find me and have a chat, let's have a chat. Like I'm not the type of person that's going to back down from these fucking people. I don't know. That's just me. I've always been that type of person. I'm just going to meet you fucking head on. And so that's why I have no problem showing my face and my name and what I want to say, even here in Canada. Like, we just had, I think our bill C9, I think it's called, I don't know if it actually passed or it's pretty damn close, but they want to put us in jail for mouth words and things that we said on, like, Facebook, like, 10 years ago. We're quickly turning into a fucking communist hellhole up here. So, and you guys down in the States are watching that going, fucking holy crap. So.
Yeah, I've had quite a few Canadian friends. You had mentioned that, you know, sending merch up there, and I do send about between 4 and 6 packages a month to Canada. And I've not had any problems with customs. The only problem is like the mail will take like 3 months to get to somebody, you know? And then people like complaining. They're like, "Oh, I didn't get my package. Where's my package?" I'm like, it's not me. It's your government. You know?
No, I know. Well, here's a little story for when it comes to our fucking mail in this country. I was getting a package from a friend of mine, and it wasn't even a big package. It was literally just a fucking envelope. He took a picture of it, sent me the picture over Telegram, and said that he mailed it that day, right? And 2 months later, said package showed up. But everything else shows up on fucking time. But this one envelope didn't show up for 2 fucking months. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? What the hell's going on with this, right? Fuck. No, the mail here in Canada.
At least you got it.
Yeah, right. But and it only came from maybe an hour and a half south of me. Right? Like, it didn't even come from like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours south, north, or whatever. It literally came from an hour and a half drive south of me. Like, that was the most retarded fucking thing, right? So the mail here is retarded. Most of the institutionalized garbage that's happened in this country has gone right down the fucking deep end, man. So that's why I laugh when I talk to a lot of my American friends. They're just laughing at what's fucking going on here in Canada, shaking their heads and banging their heads against the wall. Like, you guys are fucking like, yeah, no, we're screwed.
Really? And like, the prices, the what you guys pay, like, I've been complaining about, like, groceries and gas and, you know, all these things. And then my Canadian friends are like, what are you complaining about? Like, ours is double.
Yeah. Well, they got to do it a little bit differently down in the States than what they can with these Commonwealth countries, right? Because if you look at on how they're implementing a lot of this global homo crap around the Western world, take a good look at the Commonwealth countries, specifically Canada, UK, and Australia. They always work in unison with each other. Britain will like lay down some serious Orwellian type shit. Then Australia will lay down. Australia will basically like hold my fucking Fosters, watch this, and start doing like camps, right? And then Canada's like, oh crap. But they always work in unison with each other, where it's a little bit different in the States because States isn't part of the Commonwealth, but they're still under the Zogbot fucking rule, right? So it does happen a bit different. Plus, your population is considerably larger than what it is here in Canada. So it's a little bit harder to get that type of shit going through. That's why they have Soros types infiltrating all your levels of government, right from fucking state right to federal. Same here in Canada, right from municipal right up to federal. They're all just infiltrated right through WEF types, right? It's fucking insane. It's insane. Our government's basically turned into like a liberal dictatorship. Well, quite literally. It's absolutely hilarious. It is sad. Yeah. I'm just glad that they're not falling for the fucking, we got to go fight for Israel and send troops to fucking fight for, go fight Iran. Canada's kind of telling them to go shove it with that. But still sending millions of fucking dollars to Ukraine and shit. And I'm just like, what the fuck? It's like retarded.
Well, you guys don't have to send money away. You guys are bringing in all the illegals and immigrants. You don't need to be sending it out of your country.
Oh, man. In the past, I want to say 10 years, they've imported probably close to half of fucking India. They expedited that around the time when they unleashed COVID on us. So when they had everybody locked down here in Canada, they had flight upon flight upon flight coming into the country full of Indians and Chinese. Here you go. And nobody noticed because everybody was locked down, you know, obeying the rules and shit, right? But now it's quite noticeable. You have your average, like, granny walking down the street going, fuck you, Jeet! Like, it's very noticeable now in the country. Even in the town that I live in, like, 30 years ago when I lived here in this town, like, it was basically natives and, like, all white people, right? Like, there was maybe one or two black people, if that. Now it's Indians everywhere with Khalistani decals on their fucking cars. They own and run like all the fucking fast food joints. It's insane. And the Indians are getting inundated like fucking everywhere now. Because at first it was just here in Canada and UK and stuff like that. They started Indian. But I heard that now in the States is getting a good influx of fucking Indians now too.
Yeah.
And they could spread them out a little bit easier there. Well, we got a bit of landmass too. They started sending them all up into the rural areas, like up into northern Ontario, into the prairie provinces and stuff like that. Like places way the fuck up north where you wouldn't think you'd find anybody, you're going to find an Indian. It's just that retarded. They're putting them everywhere, man.
They are. You know, it's funny because back in the National Alliance days, there was the big, you know, one of the things that was pushed so far, but like Dr. Pierce and rest in peace, you know, he talked about the invasions of the Browns, and everybody was like, oh, you know, thinking it was the Mexicans, like, you know, all the Browns are going to take over, but it's not the Mex. I mean, the Mexicans are, you know, doing their own thing, but it's the Arabs and the Indians that I don't think we saw coming. You know what I mean? Like, I think we really thought the invasion was going to be coming from the south, not from the Middle East.
I've got a video here I can show you. This video was done by one of our Canadian guys, Derek Rance. I don't know if you've heard of Derek Rance and Plaid Army or not. You would probably like his stream. He streams usually every Sunday night. Sometimes he pops up throughout the week, but usually it's every Sunday night about 8:30. He put together this video, and a friend of mine actually helped him put together this video, and it's a pretty good indication on the invasion into Canada and what's going on with India. So let's check this out. Watch this.
Okay. Canadians have lost the ability to be able to identify what an invading army looks like. Like, Canada, think about it for a second. What would it look like to you? Would it be people coming up on shores in boats, running onto our shores with weapons and stuff like that? Because that didn't happen. So is that what the trigger should have been? Like, there's a bunch of people that are not the same color as you, that don't speak the same language as you, wear different clothes than you, and they're allowed to wear weapons in your government buildings. They can have full-on arguments about the future of your children in a different language than what we understand. How are we allowing these people to take power over us? Why are we being so fucking oblivious to what's happening in this country? They don't care about you and your family. You don't get to have blood and soil. It's about them and their family and their language. They're in the buildings that our ancestors built for us. They have taken over those institutions. They're taking up our trade routes. They're pushing you out of your own country. Can't really say it any more fucking plain as that. An entire biker gang went to your premier's house. He wraps a rag on his head. For the people that are colonizing you, he's capitulating to them by wearing the uniform as a humiliation ritual. Patrick Brown, the mayor of Brampton, do you know how fucking stupid he looks? They're taking over. It may have happened over fucking a few years, a long time, but look at where we are now. Can you imagine trying to go into that building and trying to get something done that you thought was fucking important? Somebody that hasn't woken up yet. Somebody that hasn't realized what's going on yet, and they're still fighting for more migrants and refugees and more TFWs, and they go into their fucking government building to try and get something done, and it's like Mumbai. It's good. People are going to wake up fast to what's going on. It's insanity. But
yeah, it's a pretty good video. Very well detailed. But it's a good indication of the invasion that we're facing here in Canada. But that one map that he's showing, where they're showing the invasion, there's a good sizable chunk of the United States is getting completely fucking invaded by India as well. It's absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. And I look at this too, right? Because I'm an amateur historian, or kind of, right? Like, I didn't go to school for it or anything like that. I just like to read books and shit like that. And I've been watching this for the past while now, actually. And one of the things that I really kind of started to clue into, and it comes, and I keep hearing people ask this question, why are they trying to destroy us? Why are they trying to destroy us? And the only answer I can tell them is, look at the history of the Northwestern European people. Understand the history and what the Northwestern European people have, specifically Northwestern European people, have accomplished throughout the time. And you'll have a pretty good indication of why they want to destroy it. And so when I started, and the reason why I came to that conclusion is when I started, like, because I do a lot of medieval study history. I've been studying Old Norse culture for, oh crap, ages now. So it kind of started going hand in hand. And one thing I really kind of noticed is throughout all of Europe, throughout like thousand plus years, going back even farther, even before Christianization, everything, is that Europe was the perfect and exact true model of what actual multiculturalism is. Because they all had different cultural beliefs, traditions, practices, ideas, everything. But yet they maintained their ethnicity. The ethnicity remained the same. Now, it would get a little bit different the more south you get, closer to the Mediterranean and things like that. That is true, yes. But when it came to the Northwestern Europeans, like the North Germanics, the South Germanics, the Scandinavians, the Celts, the Gaelics, they maintained their ethnicity. And eventually it ended up interbreeding with each other through it. And like, of course, it'd be through invasions and battle and war and stuff like that, conquering. But ended up intermixing with each other, and now we have breeds as, like, say, Norse Gaels. We have a whole sub race of whites of Germanic Gaelic bloodlines, and that's been going on for 1,000+ years. But again, the ethnicity stayed there, the genetic code stayed there. And so when I looked at that, I looked at that as a true actual model of what multiculturalism is, and what they're trying to put in place right now is a counterfeit, is a complete counterfeit. And so when you start going down the rabbit holes at the New World Order and all this type of shit, you keep hearing them about the replacement theory, the replacement theory. And people think that they just want to replace us. That is true. But what they actually really want to do is replace us by outbreeding us, by basically turning us into a massive low IQ mud race. That is really what they actually want to do. And by doing that, eliminates the true model of multiculturalism that how I see it anyway. Maybe others might disagree with me on that. And basically replace it by something that's subservient with that can be easily controlled.
Absolutely.
And when you try to explain this to people, they don't understand. They don't get it. They're just like, no, this is the true this is multiculturalism. Everybody's everybody. It's like, no, we're a different species. If you study anthropology, you'll quickly find out that, no, we are a very different species. It's just, it doesn't work, guys, right? Like, it's just not how it is. And so, yeah, I always like to try to bounce that theory that I have, like, off different people and stuff, because that's how I've always kind of looked at it. Europe is a perfect example of multiculturalism that actually worked and maintained for thousands of years. But now they want to upheave that and replace it with a counterfeit that is bound to destroy itself and is just basically fucking controlled, right? I don't know. What do you think of that? Do you think that's, like, a somewhat sound assessment of that, or what's your
opinion? I think you're accurate. I think, you know, we all know the Jews are behind everything, you know, and I laugh when I say that, because at this point it's, almost laughable, it's really great that we've seen probably within the last year to 2 years that the normies are starting to wake up. And I'm not sure if they're even really waking up. I don't know if they're doing it for shock value or if they really do believe what we've all been saying and have believed for years, right? And sometimes it's a little annoying too, because we've been ostracized as you know, white supremacists or Nazis or whatever we've been labeled because of our knowledge, I would say, when it comes to the Jews and their ultimate plan. And then now we have the normies stepping in and acting like they've, you know, just found the golden key to the city. But what you're saying is absolutely right. And I think they're definitely, you know, trying to breed us out, become, you know, dumbing us down. But that's all to enslave us. It's just so we become slaves, because the Jews are a clan, a clique within their faith and their race. And they don't really care about the Asians, the Indians, they don't care about any of those races, because they're not a threat in the grand scheme of things. We're a threat to them. So they're definitely wanting, you know, the white man to no longer exist. And we see that with the degeneracy that's going on right now too, by embracing homosexuality, by embracing, removing our children's genitals. It's sick. And we know that, you know, Hitler was opposed to all of these things, you know, 100 years ago. And he was demonized for it. And we're just embracing it. Our culture's just embracing it. And it's freaking bizarre.
Well, I remember being in school and they'd show you like footage of them burning all the books, right? And then one thing I was clued into even as a kid, right? Well, first of all, as a kid, I was completely fucking fascinated by all these dudes in black uniforms walking by. I was like, fuck, that looks kind of cool, right? but like, when they're teaching this to you in school, first of all, they're only going to teach you what they want you to know, right? And so you're watching all this, and the thought that would come across my mind is like, okay, well, what did the book say? Oh, it was just Jewish literature. Okay, fine. Well, what was it? Like, what did it say? And then you find out years later that, oh, it was fucking basically what's in our school's libraries now, that they were tortured. Right. Like, it's absolutely insane. And so that's one way to actually bridge to the normie, because a lot of the normies now are actually seeing all this degenerate crap in the schools with like the drag queen story time, like all that type of degenerate crap, and flipping the fuck out over it. And then you turn around and say, hey, can you remember back in 1933, that footage that they show you in school of all the Nazis burning all the fucking books and stuff like that? Oh my God, yeah, that was so horrible. Well, did you ever ask what that was they were burning? Well, no.
That's right.
Well, this is what it was. This is the guy, Hirschfeld. You ever heard of this guy? Check this out, blah, 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 and bridge that. Then that's when they start going, wait a minute. What the hell? And then they start listening to some of Uncle's speeches that got translated into English and going, wait a second here. Because, again, here in Canada, some of the stuff that they showed in history class, the translations, weren't the same translations.
Yeah. Well, of course
like
not.
They're very different. And I clued into that when I started seeing these AI translations. Like, wait a minute. That's not what I remember seeing years ago in school watching the same fucking footage. What the hell's going on here? Right? Oh, I just got a super chat from Tomahawk. He says, if there's one good thing about the small hats, they never know when to quit or even slow down a little bit. Pump the brakes once in a while. Yeah. They don't. 1500, 2000 plus years, it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. And I don't think it's good until it just all ends. I don't know. It's hard to say. So, speaking of weird events going on, we've been just watching fucking Israel and their attack dog, your guys' military bombing the living fuck out of Iran in the back and forth with all that. Now I think they might put all that on hold because I think they might try something with this Hanta fucking virus crap.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Do you think they might pull a fucking fast one with that? I've been kind of watching that the past few days.
I think that it's been a matter of time before they pulled something else out like this. And we know that when they brought the virus out, sorry.
That's fine. That's
it really screwed us up. It screwed all of us up. I'm not talking about necessarily the shot, but I'm talking about how the economy took a big dive. All of, children were no longer going to school. Parents that didn't have someone to watch their children now had to quit their jobs. And they took control from the people like completely. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is going to happen again, because the people are starting to wake up, I think. And so when they do these mass scares and make up new scare tactics, we're in trouble.
And see, that's the thing is hantavirus is actually a thing. Like, it's not like a made up crap or like a tweaked cold virus or whatever. It is actually a thing. It's been around for a while now, but I just think it's kind of fascinating that it's just popped up out of nowhere. And I got a bit of a retarded conspiracy theory addled brain. So with that being said, I remember a movie from 1998 called the X-Files movie. And So when they started talking about this fucking hantavirus crap, my brain goes boom right back to 1998. It's watching this movie going, hey, wait a minute. They covered up an alien freaking infection into people by saying it was hantavirus. What the hell's going on here? Because right now I'm watching this hantavirus crap and they're talking about alien disclosure down in the United States, the Pentagon releasing a bunch of crap or something like that. I'm just like, oh man, can't they think of better psyops than this, guys? Like, fuck. So that's just me and my conspiracy theory addled brain, though. The funny thing is I'm not the only one that thinks that. I've been seeing that all over X and kind of laughing about that. It's from years of reading one too many fucking conspiracy theories, though, man. One too many. And most of them have.
There's never too many.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is like people will like give you shit. Well, why are you always blaming the Jews? It's a Jew on everything. Why is there always a Jew involved in everything? And you look back at them and go, why is there a Jew involved in everything? Every fucking conspiracy theory out there, if you do a research and find out, oh, first of all, there's some theory behind it. Number two, you start doing back research on some of the people involved. Why is there always one of them involved? And they're like, what? And I go, yeah, why is there always one of them involved? Doesn't matter if it's fucking like some evil form of eugenics or like something with the industry or the economics, or it doesn't matter. Why is there always one of them involved? And all these conspiracy theory you guys go on about, there's always one of them involved. Why is that? They're like, oh, well, that's anti. You can't say that. You can't. Right. Conspiracy three, Conspiracy Mountain. That's what we like. That's what I like to call it. And Raging Dissident here up in Canada, he's actually one that kind of coined that. And I like that comparison because people will start climbing that mountain of conspiracies and they don't realize it until they get to the very top. And a lot of us reside at the very top and don't really realize it, but a lot of us do realize it. The very top, once you get up, it really stinks of fucking hummus. There's some weird-looking dudes up there with small hats and long fucking noses. There's like mattresses lying around and shit. It stinks. It's fucking lonely up here. We need more people up here. But the most people, once they get to that level, they realize who and what resides up there. And then they're afraid of words, so they stay down a few levels and then start counter-signaling everybody that's fucking trying to go, hey, see what's up here. And that's one of the biggest fucking problems that we're having right now, in some cases, is the counter-signaling. And that drives me fucking insane. So I like to kick them off the top of Conspiracy Mountain right down to the fucking bottom, like, get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. So that's why I always like to throw that Conspiracy Theory Mountain theory at people, right? Because, again, people say, why you say the Jews are involved in anything? Why is there always one involved in something that's in one of your conspiracy theories? They can never answer that.
Yeah, you know, and what's kind of crazy about that is when people, you know, that aren't like us say that, like, oh, you blame the Jews for everything. And then they laugh when they say that. But if you look at the population of the Jews, like even, you know, the Bolshevik revolution and stuff, they were, people are like, oh, they were only 6% of the, you know, the population in that event. And it's like, yeah, but they had the most control. And I think that's what we deal with now. It's like people are like, oh, you see, there's the Jews are behind this and the Jews are behind that. But they're only such a small minority. How could they possibly be involved in everything that you're saying? And it's like, because they have so many puppets, they can pull so many strings.
Yes,
and right. It doesn't matter if it's themselves doing it. They're, you know, they've got a lot of Christians brainwashed, you know, and that are doing their dirty work. And, you know, they've got all these people doing their dirty work for them. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the Jew, but it's the Jews that are in control, that are controlling everything and controlling everyone. So
speaking of that, have you seen the fucking latest video that came out of this Trump statue? There's a bunch of evangelicals and rabbis blessing this fucking Trump statue. And I guess they have him on speaker talking about this fucking statue. I thought I had the video. I don't think I do. Oh man, I couldn't believe that. I'm like, oh, this is like super fucking cringe level. But again, like it's like what you're saying. It's the Shabbos goy, right? Like it's the brainwashed. It's the fucking brainwashed. But again, at the same time though, we are seeing normies starting to get their eyes peeled, like getting those peelers peeled off. Like for instance, last year at work, one of the guys I work with, like he's not into this at all, right? He like all this guy cares about is fucking WWF wrestling and video games, pretty much, right? And so one day at work, I'm walking by him. He goes, "Hey, Tom." I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "You know why quarters have ridges on them?" I go, "Yeah. Why do they? What did you read?" Randomly, well, tell me why they have ridges. I want to know why they have ridges, because I know why they have ridges. Why do they have ridges, right? Then he proceeds to tell me, I'm like, "You're noticing too much." But even somebody like that who doesn't pay attention to this shit at all, like it's not on their sphere, period, is coming at me saying something about that, right? I was like, that's interesting. So that's when I started really noticing the normies started to open the fuck up. And it also doesn't help back on October 7th of 2023 when they decided to shoot themselves in the foot and just kind of basically show the world who they fucking really are at the same time.
Right.
Because that was one major event that was, in a way, when it comes to some of the optics, quite beneficial to our side, is that they turned around and showed the world who they really are. All the stuff we've been saying for years about how they want to control all this and they want to, like, basically wipe out everybody in the Middle East so they can have their own way, this and that, and blah, 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 blah. They're showing the world that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the times for us, we could just basically go sit back and go, "See, we told you." Like, they're openly saying it now. Like, you can find some of them over there in Israel openly talking about the Greater Israel Project, all that type of shit. But you present that to a normie beforehand, and they call you an anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist. But then you show them an actual fucking guy over in Israel and part of the IDF saying that. And then show them the footage of the soldiers with the idea or with the Greater Israel patch on their fucking military uniforms. And they're just like, ooh, wait a minute. I was like, yeah. So again, yeah, them showing the world who they really are has actually helped us quite a bit. So
definitely. And, you know, and I didn't mean to necessarily put down the fact that these normies are waking up. I mean, the more the better, right? Just, I guess there's a little bit of distaste or disdain for it, because like I said, we've been told we were crazy this whole time, and we've been shunned by our own people saying that we are conspiracy theorists or that we're Nazis or ignorant or white trash or you know, all we can go on with all these things that that we've been called and how we've been looked at as the villains. And now all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, you know, check this out. Can you believe the Jews did this? The Jews are doing this." And you know, part of me sits back and laughs because I feel vindicated, you know, but the other part of me is kind of like, you know, well, what are you guys going to do about it? Are you guys just going to be on a social media platform and talk about it? Or are you guys going to contribute to this movement and let's do something about it, you know? And hopefully they start doing something about it and not just, you know, talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, one thing I've definitely noticed in the past few years with this happening is the explosion of active clubs bursting up around Canada, right, the United States, Europe. They've been there for a while, but like the influx, it's just been insane. And that's extremely positive, because one thing that they like to do is make you feel that you're fucking like totally alone, completely isolated, right? But then when you see footage of like all the different clubs from all around the world, and you're just like, wow, like, okay, yeah, this is big. This is big. There's a lot of people around the world that are saying, no, fuck this shit, we're done, we're doing this now. And I find that awesome. And I like talking to people from around the world that are in the active clubs or in the movement, whether it be like, again, like music scene, the streaming scene or whatever, right? And making those connections and networks around the planet, and keeping them, because that is essential. Because again, like I said, they want you to be alone and isolated, because that's how they fucking destroy you, right? There was Denise the Celt gifted a subscription to the stream. Thank you. I just noticed that skipping by. Okay, it was the same one. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. I had to look at the chat there for a second. What else did I have? Oh, I have your... I played this last weekend. Saltine, he sent this to me last weekend to play. So I actually played your Blue-Eyed Devil video last weekend. But I saved it here to play actually again tonight, because it's your new song, right? You got you and Saltine's collaboration, which is fucking great. Excellent song, by the way. Excellent song.
Thank you.
Yes. give me the history on how you put this song together and how you guys did this collaboration, because I find the collaborations fucking fascinating and cool as hell, man. And it's a really good song. So yeah, so break down how you guys did this song. This is really good.
Okay. I write all my own songs, and yep. I had talked to him when I put out Hated in November. We were put in contact through a mutual friend, and we had talked, and I really liked his music. I really like what he's putting out, and I had sent him a couple of my songs, and one that he really liked was my song Serpent. And he was like, man, he's like, if you're going to, you know, put out some more music, let's do a collab. And I was like, you know, that's awesome. Let's definitely do it. The biggest issue is, you know, we all live so far away. It's not like we can meet up in the studio and you know, get this stuff done. So I talked to Tech, and when I say Tech 9, and as I said, he masters everything and mixes everything. And I was like, how can we do this? How, you know, I'm new to this. I don't know how we can get this done. And he's like, well, we'll get it figured out. So he had me sing the song, and we laid it all out. And then he, you know, made sure there was enough room in the song to add King Saltine's lyrics. And it just, it fit. It ended up being perfect. So he laid down his lyrics and sent them over, and Tech was able to, you know, mix them together to make it work. So that's how that happened.
Well, it's a great song. It's absolutely a fucking great song. Yeah, so I got it actually loaded over here. So yeah, so let's play that. We are going to play this.
Thank you.
This is Blue Eyed Devil by Holocaust and King Saltine.
Blue Eyed Devil.
My anger is justified, my voice.
Excellent tune. Excellent tune.
Thank you. That's also the name of the next album. The pre-sale is on 420 for our beloved uncle's birthday, but unfortunately we haven't had a bunch of time to be in the studio to finish it up, and so that should be done here in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks, and
right on.
Then cool. Everybody will get to enjoy a new album.
Right on. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I like that song. Had the metalhead me just fucking just banging. Yeah, I like it. It's good. Not like I said, I'm a metalhead, right? So like, when I hear some good metal, I was like, oh yeah, I love this. And that's one of the reasons why I like a lot of the new music coming out in this particular scene, because like for years and years ago, really the only music that was part of the scene, it was really just punk or oi. Like there wasn't really any metal or anything like that I could find anyway, right? Like I could be wrong, right? But and being a metalhead, it was just like, okay, well, the oi punk, everything's cool and stuff, but like where's the metal, right? The only metal band I remember from back in the day that was in the scene was Berserker, right? That's it.
Yeah,
I don't really remember any other ones, right? And so that's why I love it so much now. It's just like, yes, now we're getting the metal, right?
Well, you know, we did have, you know, Resistance Records put out amazing bands, you know, once upon a time. And there are other record labels in the United States. We have been working with Tinnitus, which is a label, I believe, out of Ohio. And there's other ones. It's just, like I said before, they're just small and hard to locate. Yeah, exactly. Underground.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, you had touched base earlier about, you know, AI music, and there's a lot of criticism when it comes to AI music, but, you know, Othala and I have talked about, you know, certain things and getting music out there, and we talk about, you know, a lot of other artists, and I've been accused of being AI, and I kind of chuckle at it, but I also understand it. You know, I'm a studio singer. I'm probably not going to go do live shows. But I have, like I said, Tech Nine with 86 Dresden. He's a master at mastering, and he has that background in industrial, in fast wave, cyber wave. And so when we're doing music together, a lot of it is filtered and compressed. And people say, oh, well, you know, these lyrics, these songs are so compressed or they're so filtered. Well, you know, I hate to break it to people, but that's what software kind of does, you know. And although I'm not AI, AI is a tool. And I encourage people, if you've got a voice, if you've got something you got to say, and you don't have, you know, the ability to have a band, or like you said, you know, you're in a small space. It's not like you can be setting up your instruments and stuff. Use whatever tools are there to get a message out. And people can criticize AI, and you know, it's here. It's here, and it's not going away. So if you can utilize it like the rest of the world is, for the betterment of our people, to improve things, to get messages out, to you know, relay what you've got to say, then do it. I'm all for it. And so when I hear people criticize, you know, people putting out AI music or people putting out studio based music, and oh, you know, it's goy slop, you know, I hear things like that. And I think it's kind of pathetic that people aren't more open to the idea of the message, because that's what it's about. It's about the message.
Yeah, exactly. Like especially for people that like that are singers like yourself and don't have access to a full band, that is a great avenue for that, because bang, you just type in a computer, bang, you got yourself a full band that you just sing
exactly
over top, right?
And it can be your vocals, you know, it can be your vocals, and your that's another thing. You're like, oh, this is AI or whatever, but no, you can put your own vocals into those things, you know. Again, it's a tool, but luckily for me, I have someone that does all my music for me, you know. He has his software, and he has his machines, and he has the things that he's been, you know, utilizing for years. So but again, you know, not everybody's that fortunate.
Like I've been writing some of it myself. I've kind of started as just not really to try and put out there as like music content, but just to kind of more like just something to call my own, I guess, really. And I'm, like I said, I have a music background myself. I've played countless live shows. I've been in probably about 4 or 5 different bands. I've got 2 studio albums done. I've been doing it for quite some time. I spent probably about 25 years on stage behind a drum kit. And so when I started approaching the AI music, first of all, when I first started hearing it, I was able to tell who's musicians and who are not musicians by how they're writing it. And so when I started the first couple songs I wrote, I just kind of threw some prompts together just to kind of test the waters. And then I started realizing, okay, well, I'm going to start changing how I'm writing these prompts and how I want this music to sound. I'm going to put timing signatures, different tunings. I don't have access to proper mixing software myself. So I try to do a pre-mix in the prompt. You know what I mean? Double tracking the guitars, double tracking the drums so they're thick and prominent. Same with the bass, things like that, the vocal. So I try to put a lot of that into the prompts. At the same time, I'm still learning, right? I'm a crash course type of learner, right? So, but I enjoy it actually. I probably wrote about 10, 15 songs now. I call it the Bigginhoff melodies.
That's great, though. You know, and again, if you're laying down your own instruments, your own sounds, and you're adding to it, and you know, you're looping and all the things that you have to do, it's still your creation, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So mm-hmm. When I have people come to me and say, I really want to do this, but I don't know how, and I recommend them to go investigate or read, but it's still your creation. And yeah, there are a lot of cheesy and kind of obvious AI, lyrics and things that people are putting out because of the way that things rhyme or how they don't rhyme. And people are like, God, that sucks. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of it does. But again, AI, I think, is a tool that people can utilize to get messages out. And if you're creative and you are an artist and with you, you said you're in a small space and this is just helping you with what you're already naturally good at and doing. So, more power to you.
And that's the thing with me personally. I just played instruments. I was never a singer, never a lyric writer or anything like that. I'm horrible at writing fucking lyrics. And so again, it's just been recently, I've been just kind of figuring out how to do it and make it sound proper without sounding absolutely retarded. And one thing I'm kind of laughing at is when I'm rendering a song, it'll be the simplest word, but it'll mispronounce it. But then because I like to write stuff about some of the songs I like to write is I like to mix Norse theology in with NS ideology and I'll blend it together type of deal. And the AI will say a song, sing a lyric in Old Norse perfectly, but won't say the simplest word in English. I'm like, what the fuck? It's what the hell? It said that perfectly in Old Norse, but it couldn't say this word in English. What the hell, man? Right? So I laugh at that. But again, you're going to go through, I'll go through 10 renditions of one song before I'll find what I like. But again, it's what the prompts are, right?
I guess, I'm really not tech savvy at all. It's when Flood asked me to be on the show, I had to talk to King Saltine to have him run me through how to even, log in. Just as you, when you asked me to do the show, I was like, how do I do this? I am not tech savvy. I have a computer for work and I, use it very minimal. I use my phone for basically everything. So when people want to talk to me about technical things, I'm in another world. I'm old school. And the joke is kind of people are like, oh, you're a boomer because you don't care. I'm not a boomer, by the way. It's not my age range. But mentally, maybe because I'm so active, with work and all the other things, I don't have time to sit down and enjoy, all the things that software and the computers and internet can, bring us. So.
I knew computers when I was younger, then the computer that I had ended up crashing. So then for years, I just did everything on my phone. And so I completely forgot computer, how they worked, everything. I went back to being fucking computer stupid. And then a few years ago when I started doing the streaming, I had to literally relearn them all over again. I was just getting frustrated, almost wanted to punch my shit. It's almost throwing stuff, right? I'm getting it now.
Well, I have to. I told Fala that I was going to hire him to be my PR guy because he is on every platform, knows every, you know, streaming thing, all this stuff. And he'll send me links to different shows and different things that are going on. And I'm like, I don't understand. It's like, I don't know what you're doing. Because 5 years ago or so, you couldn't find anything for our people. Everything was so underground and everybody was so scared of getting, you know, kicked off Facebook or getting kicked off Instagram, all these things. Yeah. And now there is this, you know, world that's dedicated to platforms for our people. And I think it's awesome, but I'm just so overwhelmed by it because, you know, I'm just not, again, a very tech savvy person. So I apologize when you ask me, you know, some questions or other people ask me questions. I don't understand or I don't know. And then people are like, did you see this podcast? Did you see? I'm like, no, because I wouldn't even know how to do it. You know, I wouldn't know how to get on there.
That's cool. Well, the tech savvy thing, like, no, I hear you on that. So, like what you were saying though about being basically like just kind of seeing like, holy crap, no, like there is actually quite a community for this. Like there is. And I was even surprised myself because like I said, like, cause I was involved in this for years myself and I didn't see any of this. It's only been in the past few years where I've been seeing it all over. I'm just like, wow. Like, holy crap guys. Like I wish I'd found this 30 years ago kind of deal. Right. Like shit. Right. This is awesome.
Wait. Well, you know, you say that, and it's like we weren't censored that hard 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We could actually go on just normal platforms and troll and talk shit and say what we wanted, and it was okay. And then when we started getting censored and banned, that's when we were lucky enough to have people, you know, make these new platforms and places to speak and everything. But we just weren't censored, you know, like we are now. So it kind of sucks because you were saying earlier how you like to go troll on Facebook. Like, I love Facebook for trolling, but you can't even call somebody fat now. You know, like you get kicked off for calling somebody fat. It's like, really? That's bullying? Like,
a friend of mine just the other day made a joke to somebody and put like a cocaine reference in the joke and had his profile completely erased. Facebook completely yeeted his whole fucking profile clean right off Facebook for that joke. It's like, what, dude? Crazy. Like, you've said shit on there that's considerably more worse than that, but they fucking wiped your profile over that. And he's like, yeah, man. I'm like, holy fuck. But that's the one thing I've been noticing too on Facebook in the past like year or so is there has been quite the shift on some of the content that I've been seeing. There's a lot of noticing going on Facebook now. Some of it is being banned off there, but then a lot of it isn't. Like, I find some stuff on Facebook now that I never thought I'd see on there before. I'm just like, wow, okay, I'm impressed, guys. Like, great.
Yeah, but say it. You go say it and see how quick you're banned. You know what I mean? Like, the normies and all these other people are getting away with it, but if you did it, you'd be instantly gone. And that's how, you know, it is on for most of us because we have a perpetual, you know, ban on our accounts. So
we've already got the file. The algorithm already knows the pace. It's like, oh yeah, this fucking McHugh guy, he's saying shit again. Ban. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, I know.
Well, you know, like, and they do weird things. Like right now I have a Facebook that obviously is, you know, incognito, not with my real name or anything. And I got in trouble like for calling somebody fat, like I said earlier. And they I didn't get kicked off yet, but they went to my messenger and now I can't reply to any messages. So I can see messages coming into my inbox, but they want me to actually upload my ID and everything to use messenger at this point. And I'm like thinking to myself, you might as well just dox me. You might as well just take me off because, you know, the stupid things that they can control is bizarre.
Yeah. It's probably going to get to the point in the next year, couple of years, that they're going to make us so pretty much all social media is going to be so goddamn invasive. It'd probably just be best to fucking abandon it altogether. That's why that's why we've been trying to get like these community networks together, like IRL type stuff, because it's going to come to a point in time where we are going to have to abandon this digital network. So that's why it's imperative right now that we just basically build this like IRL network for, in place of it, because it is going to happen. I'm
it is going to happen. And you brought up the active clubs, you know, earlier, and I wanted to touch base on that. You know, I love what Will to Rise has, you know, started and what they promote. And I'm a huge supporter of it. I don't necessarily know Rob Rundo, that's, you know, founder behind it, but I am in contact with a lot of the other active clubs, and I've made a lot of their, you know, merch and some of their gear. And when they have events, they are kind enough to sponsor, you know, Panzer Streetwear and have a lot of my merch there for sale. And I just want to say that, like, what they're doing when they're talking to the young men and trying to, you know, get them active in the community, active with their bodies, active with their minds, and keeping masculinity alive. It's awesome, because, you know, the white man is under attack, and to see these young men and, you know, some of them are, you know, our age or whatever as well, but just to see the community, so, you know, like the adult Boy Scouts in a lot of ways is the, like the best way to compare it, especially the fact that they're not ashamed to put their faces out there and say, hey, like, you know, degeneracy is wrong. Traditionalism is, you know, where it's at. And they're pushing being healthy in body and in mind. And I just want to give a lot of props to that. I think it's wonderful. And Patriot Front too. I want to give some props to Patriot Front, and just the fact that, you know, I might not agree with everything that every club or organization is doing, but that's, you know, we all have our opinions, we all have our thoughts on certain things. But I do love the fact that they will do, you know, the drops, and they do community work, and when there's disasters, natural disasters and stuff, they come together and they go and they help, and they don't get enough credit, I don't think. You know, the communities will benefit from their hard work and their efforts, but then denounce them because of their beliefs. And I just think it's such bullshit.
No, what happens is the media follows them around and then interviews the people that they just helped, telling the people, oh, did you know that the white supremacists just help you clean your property up? It's like, fuck you. The media is retarded, man. The media is absolutely retarded. But no, you're 100% correct when it comes to the active clubs. And one thing too, I think it's hilarious because here in Canada, they're scared shitless of the active clubs here in Canada. It's actually fucking hilarious. Because again, like you can have an active club of like a whole bunch of like black people or Chinese people or Indian people or Jeet people or whatever people. It's all fucking fine and dandy. Hell, even in Canada, you can have active clubs that are all communists and leftist Trantifa types. That's perfectly fucking okay. Awesome. But hey, just white straight guys that want to get fit and active together, fuck's sake, can't have it. We need bills. We need to put them all in jail. That's pretty much how it is in Canada.
That's because they're a threat.
That's exactly right. And that's pretty much how it is here in Canada.
They don't want them to gain numbers. They don't want them to, you know, relay the information. They don't want the information available. And that's why it's so important that people are active. And you can do simple things. I mean, it's not like you have to show your face. It's not like you have to go beat the streets and march. You know, a lot of people are concerned about losing their jobs or, again, you know, their family members being targeted. But there's little things you can do, even if it's just a shirt, you know, that says, you know, white lives matter, or, you know, and you don't necessarily have to blast or blare it. I'm a strong believer in like the more basic or easy for people to relate to, the better. Like when you go out and you're blasting a swastika on your shirt or something, you're going to turn more people off than you are turning them on. You might have people like, yeah, brother, you know, that's awesome. But most likely they're not going to go buy that shirt and wear it themselves. So you've got to, do things, you know, on a, I guess, a lesser in your face level. And just the most white power thing that people can do is come together as people, have cookouts, you know, go to the park, you know, do the things that we're meant to do. And, you know, obviously don't race mix. Those are the most important things.
Well, yeah, it's just rebuilding and maintaining our culture, because again, like our culture is the number one thing that is majorly fucking under attack. And by doing just even the simple, just like the hikes or like cookouts or whatever, that type of even those activities keeps that culture, the spirit of that culture alive. and endures. And so it gives the future, our youth, something to look forward to and something to fight for. Because like the way it is here in Canada, it might be like this in the States, but the way it here is in Canada, the system is very much making it where the youth have fucking nothing. And by doing these theatrical club situations, the IRL community, just building this whole thing is something that the youth can actually have to look forward to and fight for, so they can even, so they can build, so they can plan their future for their children, and then so on and so on and so on. And that's why I'm a very proponent of what we call up here in Canada, tribe and fucking train.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Tribalism is extremely important within our people.
Yes. Yes.
Coming together, doing events. You know, it doesn't have to even be white power based. You know, you don't have to come at people with your ideology to make a difference. Just do something, be active. And it is so important because we're straying. We're straying from our home units. Like, you don't hear of, you know, families doing things together like they did back in the 80s and 90s. You know, everybody's busy working. Mom, dad both have to work now. Our children are being raised by the system. And it's a sad thing. So when you can do things as a family unit, when you can get out and, you know, have a good time with other white people, that's extremely important. Extremely important.
It is. Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, what time are we at? About 10 o'clock. Yeah, so I wasn't planning on having too late of a stream tonight, actually. So we'll wrap it up. It's about 10 o'clock. So just tell everybody where they can reach you. Because, like I said, I know you got your X account gated, so I don't know if you've got another one going or not. But I know you have your other socials, your Telegram, and Dresden, 86 Dresden, and things like that. So, yeah, just tell everybody where they can reach you.
Absolutely. I did start another X account. Again, I'm not tech savvy, so it's going to take me a while to kind of figure it out and get it back going. If you want to get a hold of me or have a conversation or anything, you can hit me up on Telegram. It's just Holly Cost. I do have Panzer Streetwear channel on there as well. That's where I have my merch and whatnot. You can get a hold of my albums and future releases on 86 Dresden. I think after this album that's coming out, I'm going to do a cover album of Rahoa and Cutthroat and some other of the old bands. So that's something to look forward to. But yeah, you can get a hold of me on Telegram if anybody wants to reach out.
Right on. Cool. Rahoa. Geez, I haven't heard that name in so long.
One of the best. I think they're one of the best bands.
You know, my personal favorite band when it came to like the sort of punk thrashy sound of that time period was Bound for Glory. I really liked Bound for Glory.
Absolutely. Bound for Glory and Nordic Thunder was, you know,
yes,
great ones.
I forgot about them. But it's so hard to find that stuff. I don't know where to fucking find that stuff right now. Right on. Cool. Because I've been trying to find like old Berserker from back in the day. I can't find it anywhere. I'm just like, oh, I miss this stuff from back in the day, right? But yeah, if you can hook me up with some of that stuff, that'd be great. But yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I'll make sure I send it to you.
Yeah, right on. Cool. All right. Well, thank you for coming on tonight. And I've just got an itchy leg there. Sorry to make a sidetrack. Sorry, it's not a professional production whatsoever. Thank you for coming on tonight. It's been great talking with you, and if you like doing more interviews, by all means, people reach out. It can be a lot of fun. It can be tedious, it can be a little bit scary sometimes, but at the same time it could be a lot of fun, right? Like when I first started doing this, before I'd hit that live button, I'd get that feeling in the gut that I used to get before I'd actually go on stage. I'm like, this is fucking weird. Why am I getting this, doing this, right? But it's almost the same type of thing, right? Instead of looking through my drum kit to a bunch of people, I'm kind of looking into a camera to people I can't see. I can see everybody talking, but I just can't see them, right? So it's a little bit different. but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So if, people want to interview you, It's how we're doing it now, right? Like a lot of the podcast. I don't know if there's other people. I know there's me, Flood, Nick from Night Nation Review. I don't know if you've talked with him or not. He's really cool. He's got a great stream. He streams like every night. But yeah, it's a great scene and some great fucking people, and I actually really enjoy it. So, and yeah, and so everybody have a great night, and we will see you guys next weekend. I think I'm on next weekend. I don't think I have anything planned. But yes, thank you for coming on, and have a great night.
I appreciate you.
Yes,
88.
Thank you for 88. Thank you. Have a great night. Where's my outro? There's my fucking outro. Actually, you know what? I'm actually going to play a video. I'm going to do that instead. I made a video to the song I entered into Flood's Songs for Uncle contest. I played it last night on Flood stream, which is pretty cool. I showed it to King Salty, and I did not expect him to pick that song to be played, so that was fucking pretty cool. But again, kind of crash course in the fucking video editing here. Teach myself how to do it. I'm not really all that good at it, but it's a work in progress. So this is the video to show your hands.
There once was a man with an extraordinary and ingenious plan. A plan to make his nation right. A plan to keep his nation white. To free his people from the shackles that bind. A plan so his people endure and survive. Show your hands. Everyone show your hands. Show the man with the pride. Everyone can see he's here to inspect the talent soap. So show your hat, please. He looks for any goblins and creeps who might flee. They hide amongst the shadows while the townsfolk dance with glee. His birthday. He fought and paid the ultimate price so our people can be free. As his spirit rises from the grave, we invoke his eternal name to give strength to those who live in fear.